When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Hi.
This episode made me feel irritated.
I know, you're so irritated.
I feel
right now.
Agitated from watching that show.
That show?
The Seventh Heaven. Yeah. Sorry. That's okay. I got notes. Yeah, like, oh, how come I can't get the... You know what we should have started this episode with? School's out for summer. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah. School's out. Last day of school was today.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Now, it's like awesome, but like also now it's just like a whole other kind of hectic because school's out and now there's, yep. You need to
it's
manage.
It's drinking time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by White Claw.
Raspberry flavored.
Yeah.
It's just busy and a lot. And my kids, especially the younger one, do really, really well with routine.
Yeah.
And now there's no routine.
Yeah, but that's okay. Uh-huh. Anyway, if your kids are out of school.
Congrats.
Congrats. If you're out of school, what are you doing listening to this? This is not for you.
Maybe at university.
Okay. Yeah. Like good. Okay. So this episode is season 3, holy moly.
Episode 6
called And the Home of the Brave.
Yeah, like, I don't get the correlation between this line from the American National Anthem.
Like, because it's Veteran Day.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, I'm the slow one to pick up on the...
It just... Like, there's a whole Veterans Day, I guess, storyline, but they don't even get into that until halfway through the episode.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so it's November 2nd. It's 1998. Would November 2nd be actual Veterans Day? Oh, yeah, that's like our Remembrance Day, which is November 11th.
So they get a few days early?
No, I think it's the same day, but like because of when this episode would have aired. Like,
oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
They probably didn't air it on actual Veterans Day because it's a holiday.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Grandpa and his fiance are getting married and Annie reluctantly prepares for the reception. Like, this is awful.
This is awful.
You're a grown ass woman.
Like, get over it. Also, I thought she was over it because, so if everybody remembers, Annie's mom died and then and Annie's dad, George, Charles. Oh, who's George? The little boy that was adopted by the other.
Eric's parents. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Charles met Ginger.
Ginger.
And
whenever I type ginger into my notes, it autocorrects to finger.
So George and finger. Like, Annie wasn't into it, but then she came around and really liked Ginger.
Yeah, and then they faked their engagement, mm-hmm. and Annie was beside herself, but then came around.
Yeah, so I don't, maybe they're blaming the pregnancy hormones. At the start of the episode, I wondered if she had the babies, because Eric had all the kids lined up, youngest to oldest, and he was sort of given marching orders of, like, who's
doing
what.
Stay out of your mom's hair. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it turns out it's because Annie is supposed to be preparing and hosting the reception of this wedding. but she doesn't really want to. And so all the kids just have jobs to do to stay out of the way.
Like, she's throwing a temper tantrum the entire episode.
And it's like a little funny, but like, also get over it.
Yeah. It's a little funny. Like, I would have preferred, if I was the writer on Seventh Heaven, like 16-year-old me in 1998.
Yeah.
I would have preferred 14 that, Annie like had like sort of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I just wanted it to be different.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's very sulky. She's very pouty, stompy. And she's sort of like, she's ill prepared for, she doesn't have any plan of what she's cooking. And Eric keeps sort of, you know, gently saying, oh, like, do you need me to go to the store? And she's sort of like, have I ever wanted you to go to the store? And he's like, I'm just worried that like, we have 5 hours to cook, you know, a reception dinner.
Yeah.
And she, her thing throughout the whole episode is they're probably not even going to get married. Like, if there's a wedding, we'll see.
And Eric's like, well, no, they're getting married. I guess Annie has like an awakening moment, I guess, at the end of the episode. And I wish it had just been like that from the beginning. And then it would be like warm and fuzzy for the rest of the episode.
Right. I find episodes like in TV shows where there's like a definite time. Like, we knew that there was, from the start of the episode, there was 5 hours until this wedding was to take place. And then obviously chaos ensues with each character, and like it, I find it makes me anxious because I'm worried that there's not enough time, which I guess is like the whole point of it. But I'm just like, come on, everybody, like get it together.
So yeah, Annie, how do we want to do this? We want to talk about Annie. Do we want to talk about?
I think we talk about like the kids first.
Okay. We want to talk about like Simon and Dina?
Dina Margaret Stewart. But she only gets called that when she's in trouble. Huh. So, yeah, Simon is going to have a prospective date candidate over for the day. And he learned his lesson because he had his heart broken recently. And instead of following his heart, he's going to use his brain. And he's going to interview candidates for potential romantic partners.
This is a day-long interview.
A day-long interview, like a working interview.
That ends with, yeah, it's a working interview because she even gets to come to the wedding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Right. So if there is a wedding, we don't know. Yeah. So he's like, has a list of questions like, do you think we should be married before college or during college? Do you prefer mutual stocks, bonds, or
she wants to walk down the aisle to Spice Girls. Did she say wannabe. Specifics like say wannabe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she does anybody know what that song's about?
Like not Dina Margaret Stewart. And so, you know, I think their storyline is sort of carried through the whole, it's like they're literally like the movement in a scene going from connecting one scene to another.
Yeah. But they do, there is this one moment right near the end where Dina's walking through the like upstairs hallway of the Camden house and Eric comes out and he's like, oh, Dina, hey.
And then you look so pretty.
Yeah.
Instantly we were like, get out of here. Don't
look at her.
Avert your eyes.
And she's like, thanks. I feel pretty. I'm like, okay. She's 12. Mm-hmm. But they have this moment where Eric's like, oh, like, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, I didn't tell Simon yet that we already know each other from therapy. So, like, we don't know what trauma she's had, but
Eric is her therapist. Like, what can't he do? He's like, she was probably a drug addict gang member and he alcoholic and he solved it.
Yeah. I'm not religious, so I don't actually know.
Pardon me.
sorry.
This is news to me.
Like, in religion or not, I don't think I would ever, ever, ever be comfortable leaving my child alone with a grown man. I don't know. I just don't trust people.
Like, and Eric Camden, the actor, what's his name?
Stephen Collins.
Stephen Collins Herbert. Is the reason we choose the bear.
Exactly.
So then.
Oh, but they kiss.
Yes.
Like a mwah.
Right. So Ruthie doesn't really have like a crazy storyline. It's sort of Lucy and Jordan are tasked with babysitting Ruthie all day. And Ruthie has Huey with her, so we think. Huey is her imaginary friend, for those that don't remember.
He's been gone, though. Mm-hmm. Remember that? He went away.
Yeah. And so all day she's sort of just like hanging out with Huey and hanging out with Simon and Dina and then hanging out with Ruthie or with Lucy and Jordan. And then at the end, she admits that Huey didn't actually show up and she's scared that she's not going to see him again. But everybody else has somebody for this wedding and she didn't want to be the only one. And Simon does a good job of being like,
Huey's there whenever you need him for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like a high-pitched violin moment.
Look, I do want to say that I wrote, Ruthie is ruthless.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so Jordan and Lucy are supposed to be babysitting Ruthie, but then there's this moment where Lucy calls Jordan her boyfriend.
Yeah, Or Ruthie says something like, oh, your boyfriend.
And then Jordan's like, what? And
I'm not her boyfriend.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So it's this awkward, like, oh, he's not your boyfriend. And Ruthie is ruthless about it. Like, she's, Eric's like, okay, Ruthie, well, come with me and they can talk about this. And she's like, no, it's just getting good.
Yeah.
Like, sits down with her hot dog.
Yeah. She's into it.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling her ruthless.
Ruthless.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start calling her Runaway Lucy because, Lucy's entire storyline is that her and Jordan are supposed to be watching the younger kids today. And then when Jordan does it, he kind of denies that he's Lucy's girlfriend. She literally runs away.
To her closet?
To her closet. We haven't seen a Lucy runaway in a while.
I know.
But like she gets so embarrassed and she hides in her closet. And I just think if your instinct when embarrassed or disappointed is to run away and hide in your closet, maybe you're not in a place to have a romantic relationship.
Yeah. Like she's supposed to be 14.
Yeah.
And she's had all these boyfriends.
Yeah.
She's almost called her Lucy.
Lucy Goosey Lucy.
Yeah, she's supposed to have had all these boyfriends, but she acts so immature. And then as soon as something goes wrong, she runs and hides in her closet.
Yeah, maybe because he's an older man.
He looks like he's
47. Yeah.
I was going to say 25, but oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. But he's Mary's age.
In real life?
In the show. Mm-hmm. So like maybe because he's older, she feels like more intimidated.
That's another reason why you shouldn't act younger even and go and hide in your closet.
Yeah.
So then he goes and like sits in the closet with her and they have this moment where he's like, well, I just didn't know because you're not always available and maybe you're dating other people. And
she's like, I'm not dating other people.
No. And he's like, okay, well, guess what? He's dating other people.
Drama. Guess who's back?
Well, we didn't get to see her.
No, obviously. She's Mila freaking Kunis.
Yeah, she's like, she's Jackie right now.
Yeah.
In that 70s show.
Yeah. So he's like, well, if we're, you know, talking about the fact that maybe I'm your boyfriend, I should tell you I went on a date with somebody you know. And she's like, okay, well, as long as it's not Jimmy Moon's ex-girlfriend, Ashley.
And he's like, well, actually.
It's like, well, this is awkward because that's exactly who it was.
And then Lucy throws another temper tantrum.
Yeah, like crossing her arms, like. But like, also, if I'm 16 and I run into somebody at the mall, I'm not going to see Gone with the Wind.
Oh yeah, that was their date. They went to go see Gone with the Wind.
That's not.
Have you ever seen Gone with the Wind?
No,
me neither.
Maybe we need to review that over on Patreon. A lesbian take on Gone with the Wind.
But he has this moment where he's like, well, he's jealous now of maybe Lucy still having feelings for Jimmy Moon.
And then yeah, she's like, if you still have feelings, I'm not waiting around. And she's like, I literally don't even think of him.
we haven't even heard from him, except for that one time with Jimmy and Rod and the, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lucy and Jordan are fighting, but they make up at the end.
They make up, and it seems like they're both agreeing that they're dating.
Each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's still unclear, and maybe we'll never see him again, as per the continuity of this show.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about Annie and what's his name?
Millard? Yeah. Millard? I thought it was Miller.
Miller makes more sense. I also wrote down Peter, but I didn't know. I don't know where I got these names from.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just called him Miller. I can't remember. He did have a first name, though.
So Annie finally gets the keys and is going to go to the store.
To get the food for the reception mm-hmm. that she's got to prepare.
In less than three hours.
Yeah, we got 3-4 hours now.
And so she walks up to the store. And there is an older man experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. And this security guard.
I think it's a security guard.
Like, it's not a cop for sure. That would have been Sergeant Michaels. But so this fake police, like, security guard comes up and uses his foot.
To, like, nudge his shoulder.
And says, get out of here, man. No one wants to see you. People are shopping.
Like, you can't kick. Person. Like, you can't kick anybody.
No, but if you're experiencing homelessness and listening to this and you've been kicked, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, anyways.
It's not good. It's not great. Annie agrees because she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And he's like, don't nudge me or whatever. He's like, I'm a veteran and it's Veterans Day. Which we didn't know until that moment.
Right.
Although maybe, well, I don't know.
No, I think that's the first we've heard of it.
Yeah, you're right. And so Annie's like, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for this man. So what does she do? Camden style?
Brings him home. As you do. And he's like, yeah, I'm so hungry and I haven't warmed up in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't had anything to eat. He hasn't warmed up. It was so cold and rainy last night.
Yeah.
So she brings him home.
Without shopping.
No groceries. And Eric is like, oh, great, you're back. What are we having for dinner? And she's like, funny story. Come to the car.
My new friend, Sergeant Miller, is there.
Sergeant.
What is he?
I don't know.
No, he's Sergeant. He was.
Oh, I was thinking of Sergeant Michaels.
No, I know. It sounds confusing. But he was like in World War II. Mm. He introduces him as like.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe his name was Sergeant Peter Miller.
Oh, maybe.
He just said it the one time really quickly.
You're right.
And I was still so aghast at the foot in the shoulder that I couldn't retain anything.
And so Eric's like, okay, well, if he's a veteran, why isn't he at like the veterans shelter?
Fair. Like that's
yeah,
presumably what it's for, even though we know that yeah. like it's probably not that great and veterans don't receive the care that they need.
Yeah.
But this is Glen Oak and like,
yeah,
it's supposed to be all a dreamy town.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I was going to say it's like the town in Gilmore Girls. What's it called?
Oh,
I was going to say Sleepy Hollow, but it's no. not Sleepy Hollow. That's
my God. What is the town in? I'm going to ask.
Okay. Because I.
What is the town in Gilmore Girls?
Stars Hollow. I knew it. I know it's a star and it's a hollow.
I know for a fact everybody listening to this is like screaming it out.
I know.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys. This is hard.
Yeah. So
my brain is full.
With all that's going on, Eric thinks, I better stop down at Veteran Affairs while this guy showers in my house. And
on Veterans Day.
On Veterans Day.
He gets there and it's closed because it's a national holiday.
Right.
And he's banging on the glass. Like, you can't do that. Because he sees someone inside.
He did the classic. He walked up and there's a closed sign and he put his hands on the handles and like jiggled it. Like, sir.
And then he sees somebody inside and she's like, we're closed. I just came in because I needed to do something. And and he's like, well, you got to let me in. And she's like, no, we're closed. And he's like, there's a veteran at my house and it's Veterans Day and he's cold and hungry and da 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 da. And so
he says the guy's name.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, Peter Miller?
You should come in and let me tell you about this.
I know. So I for sure thought it was going to be scandalous.
Oh, God. It's not, though. He is a pedophile, axe murderer.
Like, Eric's got to run in, like, get him out
hair. Yeah, with his khaki pants
get
and like
away from the kids.
Windbreaker, and he's just running through Glen Oak.
This is my job.
Yeah. Well, and funny enough,
I meant being a pedophile.
I'm going to expose myself to these kids, not you. So while Eric is out and Miller has a shower, he comes downstairs, and who's in the kitchen? Dina and
Simon,
and they're sharing a soda
pop.
What do we call
pop?
We just call it pop.
Yeah,
but
Americans call it soda.
A sody pop.
That's 1,000 Pound Sisters. That's Tammy and Amy, and they call them sody pops.
Sody pops. So they're just having a sody pop and with two straws in one can.
Yeah.
And then Miller, so presumably Simon and Dina don't know who this man is.
Like this old man.
Old man. Freshly showered
in the kitchen.
And he like leans into them and he's like, I used to share a soda with my love.
You know, like I'd be like, who's in my house? But like I could just,
Dad.
Like I'm just picturing like one of my kids. I think both my kids would react differently. Olivia would be like, "Who the hell are you?" And she'd start like screaming. And Wyatt would just be like, "Hey, bud,
yeah. Do you want to play Crazy Countdown?
You want to play Mini Sticks?
Yeah. Yes. And so they're like, "Oh, really?" And then he's like, "Yeah, she wrote me letters for a while, but." Then they stopped and Simon's like, "Oh, did you ever find another love?" And he's like, "Nope."
He's like, "That's what happened to us guys at the war."
He just kind of leaves the room.
Yeah, it is weird.
I just think it is so kind to let someone in your house to shower and feed them. But like, maybe don't leave them unattended when you have minors.
Yeah. Also, whose clothes was he wearing? Because Eric put his clothes in the garbage.
Like maybe he did the laundry.
But he put them in a garbage bag. Like, get the man a laundry basket. Have some respect. You put them in a garbage bag?
Maybe he's wearing...
Barry's?
Eric's?
Barry.
Who's Barry?
Matt's real name. Matt's clothes.
Yeah, so Eric comes back and...
The story is that Miller doesn't want a handout. And that's why he doesn't go to the Veterans Society.
I felt like this was real propaganda.
Yeah. He even said the word Uncle Sam.
Yeah. Like, he's like, the Veterans Office will help you. And he's like, nah, I fought for this country and I get to call this place home. That's thanks enough. I don't need government handouts and I don't need.
And then Eric's like, but you're injured. And he's like, bullet in the leg. Give my food and my money to the man who doesn't have any legs. Like, okay.
Like Miller, I think that's not the point.
And that's not how it works. Like like other people aren't getting more because you're not going.
Right.
Everyone would just get the same and you would get that.
Mm-hmm. But it's just felt very propaganda-y. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder what was going on with, like, who was President Bush, probably, or Clinton. Was it Clinton, then Bush?
Yeah. I bet you, 1998, what was Monica Lewinsky doing?
Like, being slut-shamed and sexually assaulted by someone in a position of power.
So maybe, I wonder if that was what was going on, and they're trying to, like, I don't know. Are you going to look it up?
What year was the Clinton and Monica Lewinsky scandal?
1998. We knew it. Yeah. Like, I bet they're just trying to, like, I don't know.
Right. I didn't like it. And so he gets on his soapbox and Eric's like, oh, okay.
But like, you should still get help. And he's like, no,
I don't want to.
So then Eric glances at his watch and Miller's like, I can take it in. And Eric's like, no. He's like, I'm just supposed to be officiating a wedding in an hour. And then we're hosting a reception here in an hour. And I don't know where my wife is.
And my wife, Annie, is having a nap. And he's like, when she came to the grocery store today, was she supposed to be grocery shopping?
Like, for this reception. And yes, Eric's Miller. Like, yeah.
And then he said, give me money, the keys to your house and the keys to your car.
He's like, I was a short order cook for 40 years. at least I can do is repay you back. Give me some money, the keys to your house and the keys to your car, and I will make you a delicious dinner.
And like, rightfully so, Eric looks a little bit unsure of this proposition.
So he goes upstairs and Annie is still in a mood. And he's like, we have 30 minutes. And she's like, well, then I can have a 15-minute nap. Like, Annie.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, your friend Miller said that if I give him money and keys to our house and car, that he would take care of everything. And she's like, good, great. Let him do it. Fine. I don't care. We'll see if there's a wedding anyway.
Like, she's just so angry.
Yeah.
And upset.
And pregnant.
And because, yeah, at one point she says, like, fine, you make the dinner and carry these babies or something like
that.
Like, so, jumping a bit ahead, there is a wedding. And afterwards, there is a reception and they come home. And Miller has left a gigantic spread. Like, how did you make all that?
No, impossible. There's a wedding cake. There's little sandwiches.
And he still had to go shopping.
Yeah.
Maybe he bought everything pre-done.
Maybe. And then he left a note that's like, I get it. I'm not family. Enjoy the night. Like, he's very, what's the word? Like, when you're like, oh, don't mind me.
Yeah.
I don't need a handout. I like living on the streets.
I made you all this food, but this is a family event, and so I'll just family. Go.
Okay, Miller. Like, have you seen a therapist?
So they chase him.
It's because that lady stopped writing love letters to him.
Yeah, he's got trust issues.
Yeah, so
they go looking for him and they find him
and bring him back and whatever.
I assume they bring him back and they eat. All we see is it's like dark and rainy and a minivan pulls up and he gets in it. And then
silhouette of an old man.
And then it fades to black around the silhouette of a dark minivan.
Yeah, like, or Miller today is being human trafficked still.
We don't know.
In Colombia. Like, I don't know. So everybody may have wondered, where the hell is Matt and Mary?
So do we want to talk about Ginger and Charles? Because it rolls into Matt and Mary.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ginger and
I think we can kind of talk about, like, in the all four of them kind of sequentially. Like,
I agree. So, okay.
At the beginning of the episode, we talk about Eric giving marching orders to everybody.
Yes. And Matt and Mary need to go to the hotel that Grandpa and Ginger are staying at, and they're gonna pick them up and drive them to where they need to be.
Right.
And they're in separate hotel rooms until tonight.
Yeah, the receptionist or like the front desk person is like, here are your keys. You each have your own room tonight, and tomorrow the honeymoon suite will be available for you.
Like, she's almost like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. I just picture, we should have looked her up in the credits because this was her big debut.
She had a big name tag that said Sherry.
Yeah. And she was like, I just picture her getting the role and calling and being like, Mom, we've made it. I'm going to be Sherry, the front desk reception at the hotel.
The Glen Oak Inn. Like, inn and convention center.
Yes.
So immediately there's this tension between Charles and Ginger. And Ginger's like, says to Charles, she's like, you're not going to take a detour on your way.
Well, we need to back up just to how that started, though, because Matt and Mary show up and what's his name? George? No, Charles. That's the kid. Charles. Jesus
Christ. Just call him Grandpa.
Gramps is like, why don't we drop you ladies off and then me and Matt will come back later and pick you up. It's undecided, where are they going? Are they going to maybe get their hair and makeup done?
Yeah.
I don't know. But then that's when Ginger says,
right,
well, where are you going?
Where are you going? Like, why do you have to drop us off and go somewhere without me? And then she's like, you're not going past the cemetery, are you? Like,
when I tell you, Charles, you need to fucking run.
Like, you know that red flag guy on TikTok?
Oh, God. So if everybody needs to know, there's this guy on TikTok and he like has this giant red flag and he puts himself into other people's videos like
that are red flaggy.
Yeah. And he's always like, madam, this is a giant red flag. We needed him here because how dare you?
Yeah.
Like, say that Charles can't go past his dead wife's grave
and like have a moment with her.
yeah.
before he gets married to
and
you.
And she's like, we agreed we're moving forward.
Yeah. Going to put the past behind them today, she says.
Like, the fuck you are.
And then Charles is like, okay, but you've got a dead husband too. And yeah. she's like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, she's really unreasonable.
So then they're fighting, and Charles says to Matt and Mary, well, you guys might as well leave. Like, don't watch us fight. We're fighting now. And he's like, but don't go home. You can't just tell them not to go home.
Because we don't want Annie and Eric to wonder.
Yeah, he basically says they've got big mouths, and if they go home, then they're going to tell Annie and Eric that they're fighting, and then maybe there won't be a wedding, and then, which is what Annie wants.
Yeah. So they're like, well, where are we going to go then?
So they get in the car, the Camaro, and Mary just like closes her eyes and points at a map. And she's like, Turtle Island.
Turtle Mountain. Yeah.
And Matt's like, okay.
And she's like, I know how to read a map. Let's go on a road trip.
So they start driving. Oh, I'm so tired.
I know. Sorry. It's like a rainy night. It's like kind of like gloomy out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice.
It is nice.
They're driving and Mary's like giving these directions, and then they suddenly realize, oh, and Matt's drinking a gallon of milk.
A 2 liter. Is that a gallon? I think a gallon's a 4 liter. It's a half gallon.
A half gallon, like a carton
of milk.
Of milk while driving.
And she like grabs it from him and she's like, you can't have it back until you do the swim or the worm or the wave. I don't something. Know. She's car dancing.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm driving. And then all of a sudden, and they car trouble. They pull over, flat tire. And Mary's like, well, do you know how to change a tire? And he's like, well, I had the repair or the spare in the shop getting repaired.
Like, what did you do to your spare tire?
Yeah. Like,
if it's just been in the trunk of your car the whole time.
Right. So they don't have a spare tire. And she's like, well, where's, let's just walk to the nearest gas station. And you look both ways. They're like in the desert of California.
And Matt's like, where do you think the nearest gas station is? And she's like, well, where we got these cookies and milk from.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was an hour ago. An hour on foot is so far. Like, they don't have a cell phone. This is the number one problem.
Yeah, how many times in every episode do we realize this could have been solved with a cell phone?
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but I'm curious to see how the show evolves with more use of cell phones.
I mean, we know. Yeah. So then Matt grabs the map and he's like, he like gives it one look and he folds it back up and she's like, I don't know, she says something and he's like, this is a map of Florida.
And she's like, oh, it is. It must be from the previous owners. Like, okay.
Yeah. So she's been just driving, giving directions.
On a map that doesn't exist? Like, how did you find out where you were and what road you were on?
No, it's because she doesn't know how to read a map.
I know. She's like, oh, it's a map of Florida in 1969. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
And so then somehow,
like a tow truck shows up.
Yeah.
But the tow truck driver says, because Matt's like, what are you out here for? And the tow truck driver
said, can you help us?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, well, I wasn't just going to look at it.
He's like, what do you think I'm out here for? And then he kind of says like, oh, somebody else told us that you are out here broken down. Like, did somebody else drive past?
Yeah. It's like we missed a scene. Like they cut
a scene.
It's on the cutting room floor. And the guy says, what, you don't have a car phone or a cell phone? And they're like, no, we don't. And he's like, what era do you live in? Like, sir, it's 1998.
Like, he's roasting them for not having a phone.
Yeah. And then not a car phone or a cell phone. I don't remember car phones ever exist. Like,
I think car phones were, like, short-lived and, like, for the elite. The elite. Hmm. We got a cell phone right shortly after my dad passed away, which was in 1994.
What?
Yeah.
Was it the big brick?
No, it was a smaller. It was a Nokia and it was smaller. I don't know. Maybe my mom must have got it because we moved to Calgary in 1996. And I know she had it in Ontario because she kept the same phone number and still has that same phone number today.
Wow.
I know. I'm going to give it out right now.
Say hey, Barb.
Like, it must have been 1995. And she kept it in the car. Like, it wasn't a car phone.
Right.
It was kept in the car for emergencies.
Right. Right. So then the guy's like, okay, well, do you have a credit card? And they're like, no. And he's like, oh, but my dad does. And Mary's like, you can't call dad. We're supposed to be with Grandpa and Ginger. And so he's like, oh, my grandpa does. And then he says, can I call the directory? And the guy's like, just roasting
him. He's like, yeah, you can call whoever you want. This is just like your phone at home.
Yeah. And he's like, you have one of those, don't you?
Did he say that? Are you Amish?
Are you Amish runaways? And so then Matt calls his grandpa and his grandpa answers the phone and he's like, oh, sure, I'll give you my credit card number. And then like knock, knock, knock at the door. Ginger shows up.
And they start to make up. And Matt's like screaming on the phone like, grandpa.
Yeah, because the guy's like, it's just like your house phone in that it costs every minute or it's very expensive. Yeah, like
it costs money.
Like, can you remember when calls were 25 cents a minute, 15, 10 cents a minute?
And long distance with like... Well, when we moved to Calgary, I used to get grounded from our house phone all the time for calling back home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because I'd rack up the bill.
I guess that's like data today. Like kids like use up too much data and it costs money.
But now I can call anywhere in the country and like there's no long distance fees unless I call the States. Like I've got a long.
What?
Yeah. You're the same way. I'm sure of it.
Like now that you say that, you're right, I think. But like it's weird that I can call my family in Winnipeg. It's never even occurred to me. You're right. It's just
included. But our cell phone bills in here in Canada are way higher than they are in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like problematic higher.
Yeah.
Like we pay $250 for three phones.
Like, do we have free healthcare? Yes.
Yes.
But are our cell phone bills astronomical? Also, yes. So it balances out.
So yeah, the truck driver is just roasting them and it's super funny. And then there's no continuity about whether Grandpa Charles comes back to the phone and gives the credit card number because
like, they don't show that.
But then the tire's fixed.
Yeah.
So Matt and Mary are still fighting. Every couple is fighting in this whole, except for Simon and Dina.
Right. And Ruthie and Huey.
Right. Although Ruthie's alone and we don't know it yet.
Yeah.
So Matt and Mary are fighting and Mary's like, she like pranks him. She like pretends to cry.
Yeah.
Because she like never cries. And Matt's like, oh my God, did I make my little sister cry? And she's like, no, just drive us home.
Old man. And
old man Camden.
And so they're racing because they want to make it to the wedding.
Yeah. And they're not going to make it.
No. But he's driving. He's going 35 and a 45.
I thought it was 65 and a 55.
Maybe. Is that fast?
Yeah.
Like how fast is 55?
Like 80.
I'll ask.
Because 100 miles an hour is 65. Ask it.
Nope.
I'll be quiet.
Okay. I found this on the web for now.
Nope. It was trying to give me Megan Trainor lyrics. How fast in kilometers is 55 miles an hour? So he was going, for Canadians, he was going 88 kilometers an hour.
It was a 55 zone. He was going 65.
So he was going 85. He was going 95 in an 85 zone.
Basically. Yeah. It's like 100.
Yeah. Okay. And so he gets a ticket. And he has to do, and he's like, great. Now I have to take a safe driving course, pay this ticket, and
my insurance is going to go
up. My insurance is going to skyrocket.
And then Mary's like, what? They cost money? Like tickets? That's the fine part of it.
Yeah.
Mary.
And so they end up making it, they get to the church and they just like bust in and the lights are out. The wedding has happened. And they're like, okay, well, where else could we check? And they're like, well, after every wedding, there's a reception. So then
they run home.
They
run home and they get into the dining room and the dining room is empty because the rest of the Camden family has piled in one minivan
to go get Miller.
Like, is he sitting on the floor of the minivan? Because they put like 12 of them in there.
He's probably sitting on Eric's lap.
Oh my God.
So the wedding itself, so they're at the church, they're getting ready, and that's where Annie has a really tender moment with Ginger. Yeah. And Annie says, like, listen, I'm sorry that I'm having such a hard time with this. Like, my mom's dead. And Ginger's like, oh, gosh, like, I'm so sorry. I'll never replace your mom. Like, the kids will never call me grandma. And then she says, my mom died when I was 5.
Another reason, Ginger, why you shouldn't have been such a B to Charles. Like, did your dad get remarried?
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, the way she was acting.
Inappropriate.
Was inappropriate.
Yeah.
So, well, you missed the part of their big, big fight. So they have this, so Ginger and Charles, before they make up, they have this huge fight where Charles is like, yeah, well, I know about your Frank Sinatra secret with your dead husband. And Ginger's like, well, I know about the yam, potato flambe. Yam souffle thing with yours. And like, they have this whole back and forth. And like, these people had lives for 40 plus years with somebody else.
Yeah.
Relax.
Like, if you die and I somehow find the strength to get remarried, mm-hmm. if that bitch even dares to pretend that you don't exist.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pissed. She's not for me.
My ashes better be on that shelf with your dad and the dogs.
You're going to be under my pillow. I'm going to have your ashes woven into my mattress.
Creepy.
Well, that's how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
And my next wife is just gonna have to learn to love that.
Yeah.
So
you'll suck like it. Mistakenly call her Lindsay by accident.
Well, what would my next wife be? My ex is Lindy. You're Lindsay.
Linda.
I have more of a in maybe indie.
Indie.
Linny.
Daisy.
I don't know. But anyway.
Like, is that it? Do we do it?
Yeah, that's it. I also want to point out that somebody. I thought it was very nice that Happy was at the church.
Yeah, because Happy wasn't in any of the episode. And we know that Happy is the only character to appear in every single episode. So he had to be there eventually. Yeah. She.
And why do we know that? Because we have a Patreon and we're deep diving on all sorts of things.
It's a true story.
So if you find us entertaining or secretly, I don't know, rage listen to us. Because you know what? Okay. Let me finish this a little bit first.
Okay.
And you want to support the work that we do and you want bonus material, then you should join us over on the Patreon. And we're going to try and record something this weekend for it. We're doing deep dives into all sorts of things. And we're covering things that are not just Seventh Heaven. So you can find us by looking up A Lesbian Recap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've been rage watching The Baxters.
Oh, yeah.
So Lindsay went out of town last week, which is why we couldn't record. Thanks.
Oh, no, we did. Like the night before I left.
Okay, you left.
We panic recorded.
Yeah, and then I was all by myself. And so I wanted to watch TV, but everything I want to watch with you.
I know.
It's because tough. You're the love of my life. So what's a girl to do? So I just go on
Google bad TV.
Well, I just turned on Prime and I was like, let's just see what's on there. And there was a show called The Baxters. And it looked like maybe along the same lines as like a Gilmore Girls or a Parenthood uh-huh. or something like that. And I was like, great, we'll see if this is any good. Okay, it is like Seventh Heaven on crack. It is from the creators of Touched by an Angel.
You didn't tell me that.
Oh, boy, is it ever. It is the most poorly acted, horrendous, like,
it's... Are they Christian?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not even going to give it away, but, like, there's a husband cheating on a wife, and she finds out, and he's like, well, I want a divorce. And she's like, no, I said my vows in front of you and the Lord, and that's a commitment for life.
You didn't tell me this.
Yeah, and she's refusing to give him a divorce.
That's not good.
Because in the Bible, it says, don't do it. Don't divorce.
That's not happy.
And before every episode, there's like a biblical passage. It'll say like Corinthians something something, Psalms something. So I got.
And then do you think maybe that like correlates with what happens 100%, in that episode?
Yeah, it's the theme of the episode. Thou shalt not get divorced. Corinthians 20:20.
Like, I work in a senior's home, but there's like...
I showed you a scene where... They're like, it's a memory care place. So people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And this woman is like physically assaulting these people, telling them to shut up and sit down.
Yeah, she's like pushing them down into the chairs and being like, you can't talk like that.
Yeah.
Like, you
You can't talk like that. No, you can't treat people like that.
Anyway, maybe over on the Patreon, I should tell you about, I should recap the episode.
Oh yeah, recap.
To you.
Yeah. How many seasons are there?
I don't know, but I'm on season 2.
Oh, there's more than one.
I think there's 3 seasons, maybe more.
I need you to, maybe we should recap it by season. Or is there too much?
Yeah, no, okay. I recap this whole thing right now. All right. Okay. Well, everybody should follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
Yep.
And tell us what we got next week.
All right. So next week, it's called Johnny Get Your Gun.
Dun, dun, dun. Trigger warning.
Violence invades Seventh Heaven as Mary's date tries to rough her up and Simon is threatened by a schoolmate with a gun.
Can I just quickly say, Mary's had it rough. She was hit by a car. She was almost sexually assaulted by her coach.
Yeah.
She was groomed by him.
She was groomed by her coach. She was also teased and made fun of. I remember she gave a swirly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was sexually harassing her.
Yeah.
And then also remember she went on that date with that bad girl and went to this college and they were drinking and she didn't want to drink.
Oh, yeah. That was Felicity.
Yeah.
What's her name? Carrie Russell.
Yeah. So she's not had an easy go.
She hasn't. We should do over on the Patreon. We should also do so from the makers, Brenda Hampton of the Seventh Heaven show. She makes another show that Carrie Russell is in.
Right.
And there's only a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's great.
It's probably great. A true gem.
All right.
All right. Well, have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.